Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 19 December 2023. Joel.
All right, before we get started, first of all, yesterday was Charlie Flood's birthday. You didn't know he is also known as Alfred E. Newman. My grandchildren came in to say hi to me tonight, and I said, "Do you know who Alfred E. Newman is?" You ever heard of Mad Magazine? I said, "Well, a few hundred years ago, that used to be big, you know." So Charlie Flood, Charles Mabul, that's the Hebrew word for the worldwide flood. Charlie Flood's birthday yesterday, and we saved it for today because we had something going on Sunday. By the way, that was I thought the little people were absolutely fantastic in both the little people's play and the program that they also were very important part of the program that Randy and Dodie put together. That was one of the best. One of the best. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 2. We are in the paragraph verses 21 to 27, which is a foretaste of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on earth. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the greatest miracle that the world will ever know, the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation in virgin birth on that very first Christmas. You sent your eternal Son to take on humanity, to go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin. And as a result of that, that phenomenal virtue love, you make it possible for anyone, any place, anywhere to receive the gift of eternal life and your imputed righteousness by simply believing in him. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The evangelism team was at the Desert View Senior Living Center this Saturday. And Jamie had a report. We had a great time at Desert View. Our Christmas program followed their chair exercise class. So there were already about 10 people there to start out. More people came in as we all sang songs. That's because they wanted to know what kind of noise that was coming on. And we ended up with about 30 people by the time Gary gave the gospel. He did a great job, and they were all paying attention. After this, we handed out Christmas cards with the gospel, along with gospel booklets. Debbie gave us some Christmas greeting cards for them to pick from if they wanted them to give to family and friends. We also left some gospel booklets next to these. One man wanted an extra gospel booklet to give to his brother, and a lady wanted one to give to her sister. When we went downstairs to leave, we saw that there was a group waiting to go into the dining room for lunch. We were able to give gospel booklets and cards to about 15 more people. God had prepared this group. They were very positive and thanked us for coming and spending time with them. Thank you for all of your prayers, Jamie and the evangelism team. Hal Lindsey, one stormy Christmas. A storm is brewing, a storm like none before. It threatens to engulf the world. Its outer bands already fill the skies, affecting people everywhere. The Bible forecasts mighty winds of change and terrible destruction. The full brunt of the storm hasn't hit yet, but we are already experiencing a powerful foretaste. Confusion, division, rage, brutality, irrationality, folly, meanness, hopelessness, and war are already here and growing. These things are only a sample of what's coming, but for many, they are bad enough to make it feel like Christmas just won't be Christmas this year. For others, it's not world conditions, but personal tragedy that stands in the way of Christmas. The 1964 animated television special, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, very doctrinal, depicts Santa Claus giving a dire global weather report. Quote, well, this is it. The storm won't subside by tonight. We'll have to cancel Christmas, unquote. Absurd as that little fantasy is, something about it feels familiar. In certain years, celebration just doesn't seem appropriate. During President Kennedy's visit to Texas in November of 1963, the White House service staff adorned the old mansion with bright and elaborate Christmas decorations. Then, an assassin's bullet cut down the young leader. In short order, Air Force One was flying back to Washington, carrying the new president, members of his team, Mrs. Kennedy, and the body of the slain president. The White House Christmas decor had been festive and beautiful an hour before. Now it seemed garish and inappropriate. The staff didn't have time to take it down, so someone came up with the idea of covering the decorations with black cloth. By the time Mrs. Kennedy returned, the great house had been transformed from a place of celebration to one of mourning. But even then, Christmas was not canceled. It was there. Like its symbol beneath the black cloth, Christmas joy remained, waiting to be uncovered again. A few days later, staff members removed the black and a subdued but real Christmas celebration went into effect. Neither turmoil nor pain can cancel Christmas. The eternal reality we celebrate rises above all storms. John chapter 1 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory." Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That chapter identifies the Word. The Word is Jesus Christ. Now you can rock around the Christmas tree. You can roast chestnuts on an open fire. And you can let it snow, snow, snow. But that is not Christmas. Christmas celebrates God made flesh and dwelling with human beings. A reality so beautiful and dramatic that it takes our breath away. But there's even more to Christmas. We find it a couple of chapters over in John 3:16, where Jesus declared, "For God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should never perish, but have everlasting life." God's love is real. We know this is God's virtue love. God's impersonal love for the whole human race when the whole human race was spiritually dead and totally depraved. God's love, virtue love, is real. So real that He gave His uniquely born Son to die on a cross for you and for me. And that is what Christmas is about. Storms may rage. Some of them are deeply personal, while others shake the whole world. But storms cannot cancel Christmas. Merry Christmas. Well, we are in a great passage, great paragraph, Joel 2:21 to 27, where we have a foretaste of the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth following His second advent. We have studied two of these verses and we're halfway through the third verse. And I had some people come back and say, "I don't understand. My Bible says something totally different than what you said it should say." I said, "What do those people know that put that in there?" So it had been about, I don't know, 8 months since I had went through all the exegesis. And so I said, you know, I got to go. So go back and look at it again. I went back. How did I come up with this translation? Verse 23, and rejoice, O sons of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, because he, God the Father, has given to you the teacher according to righteousness, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how did I come up with that when the King James Version says, for he hath given you the former rain moderately? Doesn't sound like what I just said. NIV says, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. The NASV says, for he has given you the early rain for your vindication. And I read all those translations, and frankly, none of them made any sense to me. And I said to God, the Holy Spirit, you got to guide me exactly what you're trying to say here, because looks to me like nobody knows what you're trying to say here. But I noticed in the margin, the NASV in the margin says, this may be translated, for he has given you the teacher of righteousness. Well, that's why, you see, this is why, it breaks my heart. Because I know there are men out there who have the gift of pastor-teacher, but they don't study from the original languages. They don't teach from the original languages. They teach from a translation. And it's sad. And that's part of the darkness. We're living in the dark ages before the tribulation comes. So I'm going to explain to you, and I'm going to take some time to show you exactly where this all comes from. First of all, in Joel 2:21, we find out that the land is happy in the millennium. And then in Joel 2:22, we find out that the animals are happy in the millennial kingdom. And then in verse 23, we discover the people are happy in the millennial kingdom. In verse 21, the land is happy. Do not fear, O land. Rejoice and be happy, because the Lord has done great things. In Joel 2:21, we see that the land will be blessed in the millennial kingdom. The Lord will do great things by way of blessing and providing prosperity in the millennial kingdom. And this means the millennium will be a time of great economic prosperity. Isaiah 35:1-7, Amos 9:13-15. Then in Joel 2:22, the animal kingdom will be blessed in the millennium. The animals are happy in the millennial kingdom. Do not fear, O animals of the field, because the pastures of the open land have turned green, because the trees have produced their fruit, the fig tree and the grapevine have given their wealth abundant fruit. The animal kingdom will benefit from the agricultural prosperity of the millennial kingdom. This great blessing and prosperity of the millennium is all a demonstration of the grace and the power of the living and true God, Jesus Christ. The whole world, including the animals and the land, are blessed because of who and what Jesus Christ is. The world will receive these great grace blessings because the Messiah, the Wonder Counselor, the Mighty Omnipotent God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, is now ruling planet Earth. In the Millennial Kingdom, the original curse placed upon creation in Genesis 3:17-19 will be removed. And this means there will be great agricultural and economic prosperity. And the animal kingdom will be totally changed. They will lose their venom and ferocity and their fear. Isaiah 11:6-9, Isaiah 65:25. And then in verse 23, we've only exegeted the first half. We see that the people are happy in the millennium. And rejoice, O sons of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. The millennial kingdom is going to be a time of great happiness. It is a 1,000-year party on planet Earth. It is a 1,000-year wedding supper and celebration, including the groom, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ, including his bride, that's you and me, the church, the royal family of God. Including his people, the sons of Zion. That's the Jewish remnant rescued and delivered by Jesus Christ at the second advent and brought into the millennium. And it includes all his children, all believers, the Gentile remnant rescued and delivered at the second advent and brought into the millennial kingdom. The great rejoicing and inner happiness is because of who and what the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. So it says, and rejoice, O sons of Zion, and have inner happiness in the Lord your God. The key to this millennial happiness and rejoicing is knowing and appreciating the Lord your God. It is the 1,000-year celebration of who and what the Lord Jesus Christ is. That is, he is the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Happiness will be a major characteristic of the millennial kingdom. Isaiah 9:3, Isaiah 12:3-6, Isaiah 25:6-9, Isaiah 65:18-19, Jeremiah 31:13-14, Zephaniah 3:14-17, Zechariah 10:6-7. So far in Joel 2:23, we have, and rejoice, O sons of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. And then the King James translation, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. We start out in verse 23 with a causal conjunction, ki, which means because. And ki introduces the cause or the reason for all of the happiness in the millennial kingdom. Ki is joined by a makef to the verb nathan, and nathan means to give. The third person singular subject, he, refers to God the Father. God the Father has given. And what the Father has given is the cause of all the happiness and the ecstatics in the millennium. And then the preposition lamath, which means two or four, with the second person plural suffix, you. All believers in the millennial kingdom. The lamath introduces the indirect object. And the indirect object is the one in whose interest or benefit something is given. What the Father gives is for the interest and benefit of all believers in the millennial kingdom. And then the direct object marker F introduces the direct object, the what, or the one whom the Father gives. And the God the Father gives, Hamorah Listaka. Yeah. That's what the Father gives. Now, the noun that we have there, Mora, M-O-R-E-H. That's the noun. The noun is mora, and then we have the preposition lamed prefix to tzedakah, and tzedakah is the word for righteousness, and lamed means BDB says it means here according to a Norman standard of. According to the Norman standard of righteousness. Now the key is, what is morah? Well, here is the deal. Why was there such a difference in translation? Why do we have the King James Version, for he hath given you the former rain moderately? NIV. For he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. And I don't know what the hell that means, but it's in there. The NASV, for he has given you the early rain for your vindication. I don't know what the hell that means either. The key here is moreh. Now, this is a noun that comes from a verb, yara. Y-A-R-A-H. Now, yara is a very unique word in the Hebrew. It has a huge range of connotations and meaning. For example, yara literally means to shoot or to throw. Shoot or to throw. You say, well, what does that have to do with rain or teaching? Just stay with me. That's its literal meaning. It has a military connotation and meant to shoot arrows and to throw javelins in wartime. So it had a great military connotation. It has a weather connotation that meant to throw or shoot water. When you throw or shoot water, that's rain. And it has a teaching connotation. All of this is the use of the verb yara, depending on context. It has a teaching connotation, to shoot or to throw truth or Bible doctrine. It can be translated, depending on the context, in any of these meanings and connotations. Now the NASV does note that in the margin, this may be translated, for he has given you the teacher according to the norms and standards of righteousness. All right, now we got the verbs. You have these wide range of connotations. Now, from that verb, you have morah number one. There are two different nouns from the same verb, and they're spelled exactly the same. Morah number one and morah number two. Two different nouns that come from the exact same verb. But they can come two different nouns because of the wide connotation of meaning of the verb yara. So the different translations come from the fact that there are two totally different words, morad number one and morad number two. And they both come from the same verb, yara. Brown, Driver, and Briggs on page 435 tells us that one mora is related to the noun yora and from the verb yara, which means rain, early rain. And it means to throw or shoot water or to rain. The second mora comes from the same verb and related to yara, which with the connotation to teach, to instruct. And context decides which is the correct translation. Brown, Driver, and Briggs, page 516, tells us that the preposition lama that is prefixed to the noun tzedakah should be translated according to the norm and standard of. And then Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew Lexicon, page 842, tells us that tzedakah means righteousness. So the key now is the context. The context in verse 23. Now verse 23 has moreh used twice. In the verse 23, the first half, we have moreh, the teacher of righteousness. In this last half of verse 23, we have moreh used for rain. So let me give you the whole verse now, corrected translation. We haven't exegeted it yet. And rejoice, O sons of Zion, and rejoice, what? In the Lord your God, because he, God the Father, has given to you the teacher according to righteousness. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the last half, the other mora. And he has sent down the rain for you, the early rains and the latter rains as before. So we have mora number one, mora number two. They both come from the same verb and the context decides. But the first one, morad number one in our verse, is the teacher according to the norms and standards of righteousness. When you study millennial passages in the Word of God, there is a special millennial title given to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has the millennial title, teacher of righteousness. And over and over and over and over again, millennial passages emphasize the teacher of righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first morah we have in the first half of the verse. So context decides which is the corrected translation. The key to the context in verse 23 is we have rejoice in the Lord your God. Rejoice in the Lord your God because he has given to you the teacher according to righteousness. All right, let's look at that translation again. Oh, and rejoice, O sons of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. Because he, God the Father, has given to you the teacher according to righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is very powerful. This says tons with the corrected translation. He has given to you the teacher according to righteousness, Jesus Christ. One, The teacher according to righteousness is a messianic title for the Lord Jesus Christ. The teacher according to righteousness is a messianic title for the Lord Jesus Christ. Two, the Messiah is a teacher given by God the Father to show the way of righteousness. The Messiah is a teacher given by God the Father to show the way of righteousness. Three, the Messiah is a teacher given by God the Father to rule the world in the millennium according to the norms and standards of righteousness and perfect justice. The Messiah is a teacher given by God the Father to rule the world in the millennium according to the norms and standards of righteousness and perfect justice. Four, the greatest Bible teacher of all time is the teacher according to righteousness, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest Bible teacher of all time is the teacher according to righteousness, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Five, one of the major functions of the Messiah in the millennial kingdom is to teach the Word of God. One of the major functions of the Messiah in the millennial kingdom is to teach the Word of God. Turn over to Isaiah. You have your Bibles ready? We're going to get smoking here. Isaiah chapter 2. Now I have three Bibles up here. One of them, Ryrie's study Bible, and I had Dr. Ryrie, professor at Dallas Seminary. The thing I like about it, he points out, and when there's a section that talks about a specific doctrine like the millennial kingdom, he'll mention that at the beginning, and he says in the glory of the future kingdom, the millennial kingdom. Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 4. Verse 2, in the last days, the millennial kingdom, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills. Now listen, and all nations will stream to it. To Israel, to Jerusalem, to hear teaching from Jesus Christ. All nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. Now this, through the millennial kingdom, people from nations all over the world will go to Bible conferences to have Jesus Christ teach them. This is one of the main, major functions of Jesus Christ in the millennium. He's going to be holding Bible conferences. And here come people from nations all over the world to come to listen to his teaching of the Word of God. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his path. The law will go out from Zion. the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, the verse 4 doesn't talk about his teaching function, but it's still talking about the millennial kingdom. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. World peace. Why? The Prince of Peace is ruling planet Earth. Not only will there not be war, there won't be any armies, no navies, no Marine Corps, no Air Force, no Coast Guard, no military. There will be no military. There'll be no West Point. There'll be no Air Force Academy. There's no war. There is world peace. This is the millennium. But the first verses 2 and 3, we have Bible conferences. People from all over the world coming from Bible conferences to be taught by the teacher according to the norms and standards of righteousness. So, subpoint 1. People from all over the world will come to Jerusalem for a Bible conference. People in Las Vegas can't even come a few miles to come to Bible class. These people come from all over the world to get the teaching of the Word of God. People from all over the world will come to Jerusalem for a Bible conference to be taught Bible doctrine by the Lord Jesus Christ. 2. In the millennium, people from all over planet Earth will realize that the Word of God is foundational to their lives. It's the most important thing for their life. In the millennium, people from all over planet Earth will realize that the Word of God is foundational to their lives. Subpoint 3. They will want to know the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures so that they can live their lives according to truth. We got a lot of Christians living their lives according to lies and garbage. Sad to say, they don't even want to live their lives according to truth. But they will want the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures so that they can live their lives according to truth. So one of the functions of the Messiah in the millennial kingdom is to teach the Word of God. And people from all over the world will come to Bible conferences for his teaching. Point 6, people who had been negative and arrogant will change their thinking. They will repent. That's what repentance means. They will change their thinking. And they will accept the teaching of the truth of God's Word. Turn over to Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29, verse 24. Isaiah 29, 24. And those who were wrong, in their thinking, will know the truth, and those who criticize will accept the teaching. 7. In the millennial kingdom, people will hear and understand spiritual truth clearly. In the millennial kingdom, people will hear and understand spiritual truth clearly. Turn over to Isaiah 32. And again in Ryrie Study Bible, he says, Messiah and his kingdom, chapter 32, verses 1 through 20, deals with the Messiah and his kingdom. Isaiah 32, starting in verse 3, then the eyes of those who see will no longer be closed. And the ears of those who hear will listen. The mind of the rash will know and understand. And the stammering tongue will be fluent and clear. No longer will the fool be called noble, nor the scoundrel be highly respected. For the fool speaks folly. His mind thinking is busy with evil. He practices ungodliness and spreads error concerning the Lord. The hungry he leaves empty, and from the thirsty he withholds water. The scoundrel's methods are wicked, reversionistic. He makes up evil schemes and strategies to destroy the poor, the destitute, with lies, even when the plea of the needy is just. But the noble man, the grace-righteous believer, the spiritually mature believer, makes noble plans, and by noble deeds, grace-righteous production, he stands. Subpoint 1. People will know and understand the absolute truth of God's Word. People will know and understand the absolute truth of God's Word. Two, fools and scoundrels will no longer be respected. The communicators of lies and human viewpoint garbage. Fools and scoundrels will no longer be respected. Three, the fool teaches falsehoods, lies, human viewpoint garbage, and disregards the needs of others. The fool teaches falsehoods, lies, human viewpoint garbage, and disregards the needs of others. Four, the scoundrel devises evil schemes and strategies to take advantage of the destitute and the needy. The scoundrel devises evil schemes and strategies to take advantage of the destitute and the needy. Five, however, the grace-righteous believer has impersonal love for all, including the destitute and the needy, and therefore he has great compassion. However, the grace-righteous believer has impersonal love for all, including the destitute and the needy, and therefore he has great compassion. Six, virtue love has been brought to completion in his heart. Virtue love had been brought to completion in his heart. 7, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ motivate impersonal love for all. Eight, because he is a grace righteous believer with virtue love brought to completion in his heart, he stands and glorifies God to the maximum. Because he is a grace righteous believer with virtue love brought to completion in his heart, he stands and glorifies God to the maximum. So in the millennial kingdom, people will hear and understand spiritual truth clearly. Point 8. This is why there will be full knowledge in the millennium. Because the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the teacher according to righteousness, our passage, will be teaching the Word of God. This is why there will be full knowledge in the millennium, because the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the teacher according to righteousness, will be teaching the Word of God. Turn over to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Look over at verse 9. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Turn over to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, verse 13. All your sons will be taught by the Lord. All your sons will be taught by the Lord, and great will be your children's prosperity. Peace and prosperity. Turn over to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Habakkuk 2, 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So this is why there will be full knowledge in the millennium, because the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the teacher according to righteousness, will be teaching. So we have, and rejoice, O sons of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, because he, God the Father, has given to you the teacher according to righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. So 1, the millennial kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness, because God the Father has given the teacher according to righteousness, Joel 2:23. The millennial kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness because God the Father has given the teacher according to righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our verse, Joel 2:23. Two. The millennial kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness because Jehovah, our righteousness, is ruling planet Earth. The millennial kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness because Jehovah, our righteousness, is ruling planet Earth. That's the phrase in Jeremiah 23:5-6. Jehovah Tzidkenu. Turn over to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. The days are coming, declares the Lord, God the Father, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, a king, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, who will reign wisely and do what is just and right, righteous, in the land. In his days, Judah will be delivered and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called, Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. So the millennial kingdom is the kingdom of righteousness because Jehovah, our righteousness, is ruling planet Earth, Jeremiah 23:5-6. Point three, at the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ declares, I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away. Isaiah 46:13, Isaiah 51:5. First of all, Isaiah 46:13. So at the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ declares, I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away. Isaiah 46:13. I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away. And my deliverance will not be delayed. I will grant deliverance to Zion, my splendor to Israel. And then Isaiah 51:5. Isaiah 51:5. My righteousness draws near speedily. My deliverance is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations, and the islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Four. As a royal priest after the order of Melchizedek, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is called the King of Righteousness. That's what Melchizedek comes from. Melech, King, Tzaddik, Righteousness. So as the priest after the order of Melchizedek, the King of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the mediator, Psalm 110:4. Psalm 110:4. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Melech, King, Tzedek, Righteousness, the King of Righteousness. Five, the Lord Jesus Christ will be the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords in the millennial kingdom, and he will rule planet Earth in righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ will be the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords in the millennial kingdom, and he will rule planet Earth in righteousness. Isaiah 32, verse 1. And again, Ryrie in his study Bible says, Isaiah 32, 1 to 20, we have the Messiah and his kingdom. Isaiah 32, verse 1, see, a king will reign in righteousness, and rulers will rule with justice. So the Lord Jesus Christ will be the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords in the millennial kingdom, and he will rule planet Earth in righteousness, Isaiah 32, 1. 6. Righteousness will be the belt around his waist, Isaiah 11, verse 5. Righteousness will be the belt around his waist, Isaiah 11, verse 5. Isaiah 11, verse 5, righteousness will be his belt and truth, Bible doctrine, the sash around his waist. Well, we're just beginning to fight on all these passages. But I just wanted you to see that this first half of verse 23, the spotlight is on the teacher according to the norms and standards of righteousness, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That teaching in the Word of God about the millennium is taught again and again and again, multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of times. He is the teacher according to the norms and standards of righteousness. This is a millennial title that is given to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The spotlight on this passage, the first half of verse 23, is on the Messiah. It's on Jesus Christ. It's on the teacher of righteousness. It's on what is happening all over the world. Nations coming for Bible conferences from all over the world to receive teaching of the Word of God from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is taught again and again and again and again. So I've run out of time. I've already gone over time. But we have a lot more yet to study on Jesus Christ as the teacher of righteousness. We'll pick it up again next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.